On today's Compassion Radio.
There are Albanian friends that I'm teaching now online. I'm teaching them guitar each week. This is, I guess you could say, one of the blessings of COVID-19, because when that all got underway, people started connecting to me like never before.
Yeah.
And they just have an enthusiasm. They've got a drive. They've got a passion. It's a reinvigorating thing for me.
Hello, friends. What's been keeping you busy during lockdown? Seriously, we'd like to know. Perhaps you've got a story that might interest our listeners. I'd love for you to pitch me your ideas for how this year has been much more than just sitting around and waiting for things to get better. Just connect with us through our contact page at CompassionRadio.com. Today's guest is a good example of taking the phrase carpe diem to heart. In his understanding of God's Word, today has its own challenges and its own call to serve the kingdom. Opportunities that would be lost forever if left alone. Remember, we're not getting these days, weeks, and months back, no matter how much we'd like a do-over. So if you feel like you're missing opportunities to serve and see God in action, well, let's just hit the reset button together and get back to the business of kingdom living and kingdom action. The story you'll hear today is a simple one with simple steps, but it's also a big faith statement because it asks some important questions, and more importantly, let God answer those questions. I hope you're inspired by what you hear. With us on Compassion Radio today, we have a new friend to our audience. Now, Jeff Rockwell is the president of Music International. This is all about the performance and the communication of the gospel through music. And of course, we are all familiar with that idea, but you're doing it in a very unique way. So, Jeff, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Well, thank you very much. Sure appreciate being part of things today.
Let's just jump straight to it. Give me the seed of this ministry. How did God put it in your heart, and how did you end up doing what you're doing? And then tell us all about the things you are doing.
Well, it all started in the year 2009. And what had happened was, up to that time, I'd spent a lot of time overseas with a lot of musicians. And I kept encountering the fact that they didn't have the equipment that they needed.
Hmm.
In a lot of cases, they didn't have the training that they needed. They were just kind of winging it with the old beat-up guitars with five-year-old strings on the guitars, or with broken guitar strings or broken drumsticks. And I just started to see a real need to start supplying things for musicians.
Every country obviously has its own root music, the kind of sounds, the instrumentations, the vocalizations, even the scales and music stuff that we'd use might be very unique by culture. Why would you want to supply musicians?
I found that they were wanting to play Western music. They were playing guitars and electric guitars, drums, that kind of thing, but they were just winging it with what they had. I knew we could make a difference in terms of their experience, their playing experience, by making better quality, newer things available to them.
You're not just doing this for the sake of making people happy to be busking on street corners. You have a mission in mind here, and that's where the context comes in for us listening to this on Christian radio. What is it about the music and the training you were doing that was specific to what the church or what the body of Christ around the world needed?
Oh, it relates to helping. I guess you could refer to it as the gift of helps. Making, you know, something more doable for somebody, making it a richer experience, instead of just having them put up with what they have, why not step in there and make a difference with regard to the actual practical equipment that's in their hands?
Fair enough. When I was in Nashville back in the mid-80s, Scott Wesley Brown and Bobby Michaels had started Musicianaries International, and they were busy trying to equip in similar kind of fashions. And during their generation, they did a lot of neat things in Africa, did a lot of transfer of musical property and technology and stuff at that time to churches around the world and to individuals who were learning and perfecting their craft, much like the heart of what you're saying that your organization is about. And obviously, you're picking up that mantle in some ways.
Actually, yes. I honestly remembered being quite impressed by what Scott Wesley Brown was doing at that time. Yes. In 2009, before I filed the official paperwork, I did a whole bunch of research to look and see what organizations might already be out there doing this. And I only found one organization. It had its roots, I think, in the Philippines, but it was defunct. its website said it was no longer operating as a as an organization. So then that was my cue. Okay, I'm going to really do this then. This is the time. So I filed the paperwork.
Last man standing situation.
Yeah, kind of like that. And it really was. I remember having a conversation or a couple of conversations with Scott Wesley Brown about that very thing, but that was years before. And I had just not really done anything about it until 2009. It just seemed like that was the moment.
And, you know, that's an interesting segue because the 2009 was a important passing for that organization I just mentioned. Musicianaries International were about doing what you're talking about doing. And that was the very year that Bobby Michaels, who was at the helm of that organization at the time, passed away.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't think I even knew that.
And I know, I mean, this may be correlated, maybe tied by the spirit to it or not. I'm not sure. But I do know that at that time, so many of us that were involved with some of that work back in the 80s and 90s were praying earnestly that someone would pick up the baton because nobody was able to move the organization forward during those years. And Bobby's widow couldn't pick it up.
Couldn't do it.
And Scott was completely swamped with other things he was doing as well. But the heart was there. So I'm so glad that in some ways you were kind of like the spiritual inheritor to that dream. And I think you're correct. There is a lot of need there that is not spoken because it doesn't have a voice yet. And didn't know how to reach out. Now, when you and I think about going to church and the things that are part of our common culture in America, especially with an evangelical culture, there's an expectation there'll be a certain kind of artistic expression in every church, whether it's going to be through hymnody and sing-alongs or worship choruses, but there's usually going to be now in churches an ensemble of some kind, not just a piano or organ leading worship.
Mm-hmm.
And most of this generation that you and I grew up with is used to worshiping that way. But it is truly a cultural thing. That does not mean that other cultures are not interested in expanding and growing and adapting what God's been doing in other countries around the world, like Australia, Europe, America, South America, and making it their own. It just means that they don't know where to start. So
yeah,
God lays that on your heart. Tell me how it actually played out for you then.
Well, what was happening at the time I was having conversations with friends and such, we had some friends in town here in the Denver area who are missionaries to Albania.
Mm.
And while I was sharing the vision with one of them, his wife walked into the room and she just said really boldly, she said, "Well, you should just come to Albania."
You should.
and I said, "Well, maybe I will." And it ended up that we made our very first trip to Albania in November of 2009.
Awesome.
And that was when I met some of these worship leaders that I'm still working with today. Met them that time in 2009, started doing teaching seminars with them, started supplying them with guitar strings and guitars, and we've helped them buy keyboards, we've helped them buy computers in order to do recordings ever since then. So that was our first trip was to Albania. We've since been to Albania about 6 times, I think.
Awesome.
And we've gone to India twice. We've had a couple training trips to India. And we just recently started reaching out to some musicians in Burundi, Africa.
Awesome.
On the world scale, it's a tiny operation.
Well, of course.
Very grassroots.
When you're talking about kingdom things, though, there is no tiny. I mean, when God says go and do something, and you're working with his people in the places where his spirit's moving in a special way to get them excited about the whole concept of worship itself as evangelism, that people, when they gather together, that there's such energy and such expression of the spirit, it's going to attract. So the people in those communities can't help but hear the noise coming out of that house next door, because we're not talking about isolating them off across town somewhere. Quite often, these worship services are happening in the middle of barrios, street corners, coffee shops.
Mm-hmm.
And they're reaching out to God for this. They're asking him to help them do their very best, to give their very best, so that his very best would be known by all men. I've seen that spirit myself in a number of places, and you and I have traveled in a number of countries in similar fashion. They step up and say, "I want that." I don't even know what that is yet, but they have a hunger for it. And so you have that skill set to teach, and you have the will and the time. So you go. Now, like military terminology, the war plan never survives the first contact with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're there doing spiritual warfare and the devil figures out you're up to something, things tend to go haywire. Or expectations can be confused or not met. Things like that can happen all the time. So tell me about your experience when you actually did it, when you actually went and spent time with friends in Albania, and then tried to bring what you thought you were going to bring. What did God do with it?
it's interesting because when you just simply make one trip, that's good, but it doesn't produce like what would be produced with multiple trips. Mm-hmm. And so since 2009, I've connected with so many people in Albania now, and they're steering a little more toward their own original worship songs being written now.
Very good.
Yeah, they're trying to be less dependent on material coming from the U.S. They're like, you know what, we like that stuff, but we're trying to create our own to express our worship.
Amen
and
to that.
So I've been seeing that happen. I've also put a couple of Albanian friends, I guess you can say I've put them to work because they've become my representatives. Mm-hmm. And so it opens up doors for them to develop their own skills and so forth. That's been a great experience. And so I've just seen this whole entity grow in this tiny little country, Albania, that wouldn't have happened had I just made a single trip there and then just hurried off to the next place.
You know, I don't want to paint over the uniqueness of where you went, because we just mentioned the name Albania. We don't talk about the culture, the people, or their political history. It's totally lost on us what you're facing going in there, because every country has its own particular history of persecutions, of deprivations, of spiritual conflicts, and geopolitical issues. And Albania is not some place that Americans think a whole lot about, or even evangelicals don't think much about it. But it's a pivotal country in Southeast Europe, and this is a country that is, you know, tied up against a lot of other places that seem more familiar to us in the West, and it's right across the middle of the Adriatic Sea from Italy, next to Macedonia, and then Greece. So it's not some place that's remote to the very ends of the earth. It's right on the way to a lot of places, but it was so isolated. And until the 90s, it was very much like the Hermit Kingdom, which is North Korea, which we hear a lot about in the news.
Yeah.
And so you're talking about a first-generation people just coming out of immense oppression and dictatorship and communist ideology. When you step off the plane and first met them, what did you experience? And what were you surprised about that you were not prepared for?
Oh, I was really touched by their warmth, actually. Very warm, congenial people. They connect with you really well. They love learning English. They really have an appreciation for the English language. Mm. So there was a real warmth there just like immediately, and they have an even greater respect for those who decide to connect with them. Hmm. And as I was saying earlier, develop more than just, you know, making one single trip.
Right.
They feel, I think, much more appreciated and understood if you commit yourself to multiple trips. Commit yourself to really making connections instead of just one-time touches. They have a real warmth. It's a very diverse people, too. It's a population of about 3 million and quite diverse. The northern part of Albania is quite different from the southern part. Different cultural things just between those two ends of country. So it's pretty diverse.
Pushed together under an empire of some kind, or has it always been a national identity but with very different cultures?
I think on the long term, it's kind of always been that way, north versus south, just some noticeable differences. I don't think it's really been a recent thing. I think it's been that way for several centuries.
When you step into a country like this and you expect God to start doing things, he starts putting ideas in your head and you start imagining things you might not have thought of before. What did God start pinging your brain about when you hit the ground in Albania and saying, okay, Jeff, this is what I want you to pay attention to?
I was seeing the youth of the people. Most of the people that have attended these worship conferences that I've been part of have been in their teens and 20s. Dramatically different from my age group now, in my 50s. So many young people, just a crowd of young people. And they're basically experiencing Christianity for the first time. They're very much first generation Christians in their families. So a lot of enthusiasm. There's a lot of warmth, like I said, with them.
So this is youth ministry meets evangelistic event, meets church building, meets missional ambition to reach a new generation. There's a lot of stuff going on in these things.
It meets musicians and their needs, meets worship, yes, all of the above. I mean, everything. It's all piled up in there together, yeah.
We're talking with Jeff Rockwell of musicinternational.org. I encourage you folks to visit online and find out more about the projects and the places they're going right now. Even as a small ministry, they got a lot of stuff happening that God's very, very much blessed in the years past, and they got a lot of opportunities in the years to come. So check them out. We'll be right back. Right now, a quick reminder about how important your support is to keeping this program on the air. We're completely listener-supported, and it's your generosity that keeps us bringing the stories to this station each day. You can give anytime online at CompassionRadio.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And our toll-free number is 800-868-2478. Friends, contact us today to let us know you want to stand with Compassion Radio in encouraging the body of Christ to not only hear the Word, but to do the Word. For your gift of support this month, I'd love to send you a copy of our special edition of The Dynamic Gospel. It's a very fresh and motivational take. See this treasured book with new eyes. We're glad to offer it to you, and it's only available through Compassion Radio. Please contact us today. And now, back to the interview. We're back with Jeff Rockwell from musicinternational.org. Jeff, we've been talking about your first foray into music missions, but not just that, kind of like a training center mentality, a worship seminary on the hoof. You're traveling around teaching people not just how to play chords on guitars or learn music, but how to fall in love with it, how to experience Jesus in the arts, and in turn to see them catch fire for their people and realize that they could use the skills you teach them to not only reach their people, but to lead them into something very new. And there's a lot of people up in Eastern Europe right now, like Josiah Ventures in the Czech Republic, who has stuff happening all across Eastern Europe now. They're focusing on the youth of those countries. You've had the opportunity to step in with the youth of Albania. Tell me about some of the fruit, stories of the young people that were affected and discovered the power of music and gospel and how much Jesus wanted to know them.
There are Albanian friends that I'm teaching now online. I'm teaching them guitar each week. This is, I guess you could say, one of the blessings of COVID-19, because when that all got underway, people started connecting to me like never before online.
Yeah,
I have a couple of Albanian guitar students that I teach each week over the internet. And they just have an enthusiasm. They've got a drive. They've got a passion. It's a reinvigorating thing for me.
They've made a leapfrog technologically. I understand, like, in the last 5 years or so, some of the European communications companies have wired Albania and most of that southeastern territory into something that's really, truly 21st century. So you talk about kids that may not have a job, but they've got great internet.
Yes, that is quite true. They don't always have jobs, but they do have pretty good technological equipment. They're improving that all the time. I know when my friends first went to Albania and established their work with the Stephen Center, the streets were not paved. Mm-hmm. They were dirt roads. Horse-drawn carriages were being driven up and down the streets. That was like the early 1990s.
Right.
So they've jumped. They've made some huge leaps forward since the 1990s, yes.
Well, focus still on the country of Albania, and then we'll wrap it up and move on to some other places you've been. What do you see as a future for the church in Albania and the role that young people and the arts are going to play in that?
As I was mentioning earlier, I'm seeing that they're wanting to utilize their own songwriting mm-hmm. skills. They want to be creating their own particular brand of worship. Albania is very interesting in just their language, because the Albanian language is so different from any other European language. So I believe they're really wanting to be their more unique selves in mm-hmm. that regard. A couple of my musician friends, my older ones that I met back in 2009, have been teaching these younger generations and raising them up for, you know, a good 10 or more years now. I think they're seeing good fruits coming about. I think it's really encouraging in that regard.
Is there a solid foundation for open and accessible worship or congregations that are cooperative even across denominational lines, or they tend to be fairly tribalistic and stay away from each other?
You know, I haven't tuned into that aspect very much, but I believe they are pretty interdenominational. I think there's been quite a bit of cooperation among them.
Good.
Largely, still a good majority of the population is Muslim. So the hope anyway is that the church won't be haggling too much over technical church details mm-hmm. so much that they neglect their Muslim neighbors. I hope they don't. But it does seem like there's good cooperation among the various denominations. Yeah.
It does seem like in small countries where there is a bifurcation, especially between Islam and cultural Christianity, or at least ancient Christianity has been there, that it goes one of two ways. Either it becomes an accommodating kind of a secular state where people have some limited freedoms, depending on the government's style, to worship as they please, and they try to stay out of each other's way. So there's basically a detente, a cultural courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
And then other ones get compressed and the populace foments so much hatred over generations that they have a very hard time escaping that cycle and not perceiving people who are not part of their tribe as being the other, the evil. It is a very beautiful thing when you see a country that's able to set aside that kind of ratcheting up of animosity towards other people in the name of religion.
In the name of religion,
and call it God.
Yeah.
You think Albania has a chance here to be a truly tolerant and open society and let the marketplace of ideas be open and Christianity to flourish because of honest pursuit of spiritual things?
Oh, I do. Oh, I really do believe so. The times I've spent there, I've seen just a lot of warmth in the Albanian people and connectedness. They want to be, I don't think anybody there is really what you might call fundamentalist in terms of Islam. It's more of a cultural thing much of the time. There is a real sense of Albanian identity that they want to hang on to, that it's meaningful to them. I see that remaining.
And I know it's going to seem very rewarding to you after a lifetime spent of encouraging and coaching, teaching, when you see them produce from their heart and not just create a song, but to see them excel and become highly proficient at what they do and become great communicators. And because they're great communicators, to influence the history, the trajectory of a nation. That's going to be fun for you to watch that in the years you've got left. All right.
Yes, I look forward to it very much.
I'd like to come back on the second program here and talk some more about the other countries that you visited. We've been visiting with Jeff Rockwell of Music International out of Denver. And the work he's been doing in Albania is where it all started. We've talked about that today. We'll move on to some other countries on tomorrow's program.
I look around and all I see are burning buildings, barren trees. Hopelessness is starting to wreak havoc. Son of man, I know you see the deepest depths unknown to me. You have planted seeds among the ashes. You rebuild, you restore all that's broken. From the that's gone is never lost. Emmanuel is here and he is faithful. So I won't let my praises stop. I'll sing it from these rubble rocks. Cause I know you are good and you are able. That's what you do. You turn sorrow to gladness. Yeah, that's what you do. I give glory and honor for all that you do. I will sing hallelujah.
remember that this is a listener-supported ministry. We can only bring you powerful stories from the edge of the kingdom with your prayers, help, and sustaining support. Give today at CompassionRadio.com. For your gift of support this month, I'd love to send you a copy of our special edition of The Dynamic Gospel. It's a very fresh and motivational take. See this treasured book with new eyes. We're glad to offer it to you, and it's only available through Compassion Radio. Call us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445 to make your gift right through your phone. And of course, we're available any time of the day at CompassionRadio.com for your online gifts. Thanks so much for your support, friends, and join us tomorrow for the next Compassion Radio.